The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Four minutes after, I'm John Caldera. Got 1 hour to go, and then that goal-breaking guest host, who calls himself the real host of this show, comes back next week.
And then I'll be gone, and I won't be able to come back until he goes on another trip.
Brockler will return. Oh, it's kind of like, remember how they, at the end of every James Bond movie, they have that wonderful tag, James Bond will return. And they used to have it in, they would always tease the next movie, James Bond will return in Thunderball. In the last movie, it just said, James Bond will return. Which was very odd, given the ending of the last movie. All right, 303-696-1971. We're talking about the fallout of this very political indictment. Let's take a couple calls, and then I want to give you the results of a Quinnipiac poll that Mr. Thorpe was kind enough to get to me. It really speaks volumes. You want to hear this one. But first, let's grab a couple of these calls. Let's go out to Aurora. Tim, good morning. So glad to have you. You're with John Caldera.
Good morning, John. Thank you. Talking about Trump and his polarizing effect on the electorate, I agree with your observation about you have to add and not subtract. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am a Trump fan. He was my candidate from the time he came down that escalator in 2015.
Why was that? Just curious. What was it from that moment? Because I got to tell you, I was more than reluctant. I thought there was no way that guy could win. I was reluctantly a Trump voter in 2016. I was an enthusiastic Trump voter in 2020. What is it that you saw that I did not?
Well, I didn't base it on the calculus of, is he going to beat Hillary Clinton? It was based on the America First policy. I had left the GOP in 1990 because of the Bush 41 presidency. Re-registered briefly in 1996 to vote for Pat Buchanan in the primary, another America First guy. So just in terms of policy and the things he said that he was going to forward, I said, I'm going to support this guy. But I do understand your point. I'm not blind to how his personality comes off to a lot of people. I find it funny and refreshing, but I know that it has the opposite effect on a lot of people. The question I have, John, is if we throw Trump overboard and make DeSantis the GOP nominee, do you think the left is going to then jettison their template that they constructed against Trump, and they're just going to calm down and just be relaxed and say, okay, let's be civil now?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I believe that DeSantis being younger, being a proven politician, is far less radioactive and far less repugnant to middle, unaffiliated voters. And I believe that DeSantis will pull in, should he or someone like DeSantis, pull in 98% of Trump voters.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about him getting the vast majority of Trump voters. The thing is, if he's becomes a nominee or even looks like he's a likely nominee, I think the left puts on a full court press. I think something akin to the Russia hoax is ginned up. And I think that what Michael Savage calls the media industrial complex gears up right along with the left and goes after him. And
yes, but
it's going to be
the same,
playbook.
It's just not the same amount of baggage. There's just not the same amount of verbal ugliness. There's just not the same amount of genital grabbing. There's just not the same amount of name calling and insulting and womanizing. And it's just not the same. I think we can have the same policies. I think we can have the same disruption. I mean, you know what the record against COVID in Florida is so much better than what Trump was with COVID. You know, we can have all of Trump. We can have our cake and eat it too with somebody like DeSantis. There is enough Trumpiness out there without the negatives of Trump. Yes, they're going to be attacked. Yes, the media is going to go all over them. But we stand a better chance of America first, freedom, Trump disruption without the Trump hatred, without the crazy.
Well, and that's a fair point. And he, excuse me, Trump is guilty of unforced errors, to be sure. I just wonder if DeSantis will be able to avoid the villainization, excuse me, that will be coming after him. And I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, we'll find out. Hey, great call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's chat with Diane. Diane, welcome. You're with John Caldera.
Hi.
Good morning. Hi.
Good morning. This is Diane in Morrison here. And I have to agree with the caller who was fiercely relating that he thinks it's good for the democracy that crimes be prosecuted. And I have to agree with him 100%. My question is, why hasn't anyone on the left been indicted or prosecuted for any one of the crimes that they have committed, which we could just spend hours listing, including, you know, the fact that Biden has received millions from China? What's up with all of this? I think Lady Justice needs to put back her blindfold, and the half the nation needs to take their blindfolds off. Hello?
Yeah.
You know?
I can't suggest that it doesn't seem to be fairness when it comes to unequal treatment of this. When you look at Computergate, when you look at particularly media coverage, it sure does seem like unequal treatment, not only in prosecutions, indictments, investigations. Boy, you have to wonder. I've always wondered why it is, when it comes to court nominations, why Republican nominations to the high court tend to, over time, go squishy, while Democratic nominations to the court never go to the right over time. I've never seen, you know, the left nominees go, you know what, I've really started to understand the Scalia version of the originalist's viewpoint of the Constitution. But I sure have seen Sandra Day O'Connor and Chief Justice Roberts and others,
Thomas.
Yeah, go crazy. Not Thomas. Thomas has been as solid as a rock. But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
okay.
It the gravitational pull seems to go in one direction. What a surprise. The media goes in one direction. Those people who work in the deep state, and there is a deep state, go in one direction. I've never been surprised by that. I've just come to accept it, which is why we have to keep shining a light on that and demanding it. It's why it's important that we elect people who force these issues. One of the reasons it's important to have a Republican Congress is that then they can have the investigations which bring up these issues. You're absolutely right.
Add something. I think that the hatred for Trump, I kind of understand that it comes from people who have been indoctrinated in the Marxist way of thinking. So they look at Marx in communism, anything goes. There's no authorities. You know, it's do anything that you feel like it. But whereas with the fascists, they're top to bottom authority. They have strict rules. So when people have been indoctrinated in the communist Marxist way of thinking, they look at people who have morals. They look at people who take authority. They look at people as fascists, as people who are restraining their freedom. And so that's where part of the hatred, the untenable hatred for President Trump comes from. Also, I compare it to the Nazi youth, you know, who have this zeitgeist, this venomous hatred for Jews, and or even the school shooters who have this untenable hatred for their peers. I'm not following you here.
So
you're not following me.
You know, I think you might be overstating something here. What is it you want me to know?
What am I saying?
Yeah. What
I want you to know that. Yeah. I think it's just this untenable hatred where people want to cut his head off, Trump.
Yeah.
It's coming from Marxist mindset that looks at Trump like he's a fascist or something. Yeah. But it's because these people are Marxist minded. Do you understand?
Yes, yes. I understand that, and I don't disagree with that. But I also want us not to be so blind by our love of personality. And I worry on our side that we fall so in love with personality.
Let me finish my thought. Okay, go ahead then. I'm sorry.
I believe we get so enamored by personality that we lose sight of our principles sometime, and that we fall in love with Trump so much that we realize we forgive some really ugly things too. Case in point for me was his unforgivable behavior on January 6th. When I say unforgivable, it's that when I see a president staying in his office for hours before he finally comes out and makes a bold statement of, to my supporters, go home, I found that to be just absolutely unforgivable.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you about that, but I do agree with you.
How do you disagree with me on that? You think he it was fine to wait for, what, close to 4 hours before he told people to go home?
He didn't inspire any violence.
I didn't say he did. What did I say? I was very specific. I'll repeat it. I found it unforgivable that while our Capitol was under attack, I didn't say an insurrection, under attack, that the lead law enforcement official of our country sat in his office and did not say anything, did not ask his supporters to immediately leave. He should have done that within minutes. I find, I'm not speaking for anyone else, I find that reprehensible. You say you disagree with that.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. All I'm thinking about
What don't you know?
What don't I know? I know
he's watching his supporters attack a building on January 6th, and he stays quiet about it.
Yeah,
while people are being hurt, and he stays quiet.
Some of those people were pretending to be Trump supporters. They were really
whether there's proof of that or not, it is unforgivable that his supporters, whether they're all his supporters or not, that he stays silent at this historic act of lawlessness when people under the name of supporting him are attacking our Capitol, and he stays silent on it for hours. That is reprehensible, and he should have immediately condemned it and pled with his supporters, even if they were not all his supporters, to immediately stop. Immediately.
Okay.
Do you not agree with me?
I haven't thought about it that much.
Well, I'm asking you to think about it now. If it was Obama sitting in his office, while Obama supporters were rioting and taking over the Capitol, and he sat there and did not call on his supporters to stop their lawless behavior, would you not have found that reprehensible?
I guess so. Okay.
This is important to me.
Why do we want to build a case? Yeah, crucify him, okay?
I'm not crucifying him. I'm asking you, if Obama did it and you would find it reprehensible, why wouldn't it be reprehensible if Trump did it? I'm just asking for consistency. I guess she hung up. Is that difficult of a question? I guess it's this type of thing that really boggles my mind. I love what Trump did as president. His behavior on January 6th was reprehensible. I don't know if I can ever get past that. If he is the nominee and it's between he and Biden or Kamala, there's a really good chance I'll vote for Trump. Yeah, let me say it. I'll vote for Trump. But good God. Sitting in his office, watching people carrying flags with his name, stomping through our Capitol, and not going to a microphone and saying, stop this. Those of you who are doing this, thinking you're helping me, that's not what we do in this country. Stop this. I ask you to go home. He waited hours for that. None of us who say America first, none of us who say I voted for Trump because he said I put America first, no one who says I put America first could say it was America first to sit back and watch that happen for 4 hours and say, oh, no, that was good. That was forgivable. That wasn't reprehensible. That was completely reprehensible. And most Americans understand that, which is why I believe there's no real way he can get elected, which is why every Democrat wants him to run and get the nomination. Ta-da. All right, 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. It's 9:30. Good morning. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Check out the work we do at the Independence Institute. Go to thinkfreedom.org. Sign up for our newsletter. Try to get it out to you once a week or so. Let you know what the fun things we've got going at II. In fact, on the 13th, just a couple weeks, we've decided to whine about all the terrible bills coming out at the Colorado legislature, and we want to whine about it in Independence Institute style. So we're having a wine and cheese party. Yeah, we're going to match the right wine to the right bill with a little cheese. I think we're going to have the right woke white will be the house wine. Yeah, so we're going to have real wine so we can whine with wine. And we'll match the right bad bit of legislation with the white, with the right wine and the right wine. Everything goes down with the right bit of wine. All right, I want to give you a little few of these numbers before we get to these calls. So hang on, guys. But I wanted to get you these poll numbers from Quinnipiac. I found this fascinating. Thanks to Billy for digging these up. Americans, 75 to 38% criminal charges should disqualify Trump from running for president again. That's pretty big numbers. Democrats feel that a bit more differently than Republicans. 88 to 9% think that should disqualify Trump from running for president. What a surprise. 55 to 38% for unaffiliated, they call them independents here. Republicans think differently. 75 to 23% think the charges should not disqualify him. Now, mind you, disqualify, that's not legally disqualifying him. That means they're not going to vote for him. That's kind of interesting. So still 23% of Republicans still think it disqualifies them. But when you add it all together, a majority of Republicans think the charges, just the charges, not being convicted, just the charges disqualify them. That's pretty amazing. Now listen to this part. Even given that, more than 6 in 10 Americans, 62% to be precise, think the Manhattan DA's case involving the president is motivated by politics. Let me say it again. They think it's motivated by politics. 32% think the case is motivated by law. Republicans, 93 to 5%, and independents, 70 to 26%, think the Manhattan DA's case is mainly motivated by politics. Democrats, the poor dears, by 66 to 29%, think it's mainly motivated by the law. So, overwhelmingly, 62%, even the unaffiliateds, think this is a case that is motivated by politics, and still they think it disqualifies them. Some cognitive dissonance going on there, if you ask me. And this one, I agree with. Nearly 7 in 10, 69%, think Trump was mainly acting out of concerns for himself when he announced on social media he was going to be arrested in New York and urged people to protest and, quote, take our nation back, while nearly a quarter think he was mainly acting out of concerns about democracy. That's fascinating. All right, let's grab some of these calls while we still have some time. 303-696-1971. Let's go to Denver and talk to Gary. Good morning, Gary. You're with John Caldera.
Hi, John. First of all, I agree with you. I appreciated Trump's policies, but he is a despicable human being.
I never said despicable. Let me make it very clear. He's not despicable. He's a narcissist. And he's off his rocker. That doesn't make him despicable, but no, he's unstable, I think.
All right, whatever. But let me ask you this. We don't know what the 34 indictments are yet. If a private citizen had committed the same offenses as he did, do you think they should not be charged?
I will make it very clear. If another citizen made those offenses, they would not have been charged.
I heard a statistic that in New York, that those charges this past year have been charged 53 times.
53 times out of a city of 8 million people? You know,
yeah, but
my suspicion is those were probably pretty rare circumstances. My suspicion, and again, I don't know what the charges are, so we don't even know what the heck we're talking about. My suspicion, these are can we both agree these are politically motivated charges for something that happened, in 2017, 2016. This is politically motivated. You know, this is, you know, there are murders going on there. There are all sorts of things going on here. Here in Denver, everybody's car is being stolen. Nobody's being charged for this. You know, this is not a crime that is impacting anyone's life right now. My suspicion is if this is going on, very few times is some hooker being paid to be quiet actually getting, is this being charged? There are a lot of rich guys paying off women to stay quiet about their affairs in Manhattan.
Yeah, I thought the charge was going to be about improperly recording attorney's fees in his books and records. I thought that was, we don't know what the charges are, but that seems to be what everyone thinks they're going to be related to. Not paying the hooker.
Likely. And I don't know.
So, I mean, in my view, like your first caller a long time ago said, I think this will benefit democracy in the long run. I'll tell you why. I don't really care if it's politically motivated. If the Republicans do this in a future year, that's fine with me. I disregard the motivation. I'm just interested in the crime, what a jury of our peers decide, and whether or not it's equitably charged and found guilty or not guilty, whether you're a politician or anyone else.
Do you think if this was Bill Clinton that this would be going on?
Looking back, I don't know, but going forward, it may happen, but I don't care. I'm more interested in the facts. And if it keeps our future politicians from making sure they're squeaky clean, that will improve the democracy.
That's wishful thinking. If this was Bill Clinton in New York City, no, this wouldn't be going on. There is a double standard. And
there always will be.
That doesn't make it any better. But
I
understand your point. I understand your point. It sure would be nice if all laws were enforced equally. And if that were the case, man, there'd be a lot more. There would be a lot more catalytic converters under people's cars today in Denver.
Yeah, and just think about African Americans who've been arrested and charged in the past, whereas Caucasians have not for the same reason. So
fair point.
Anyway,
very fair point. Well said. Well said. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's chat with David. David, good morning. You're with John Caldera.
Hey, good morning. I think this should be a rally.
There should be a rally. Say more.
Yeah, for that lady who's on the phone before the last guy. You know, when I hung up on you and you
yes.
had this pregnant pause, like, oh, I don't know. What happened to her? And we all heard her hang up.
Oh, I did not hear her hang up.
Oh, really? Oh.
It didn't come through my headphones. Things are different in the studio. All right, keep going.
I see.
What about her?
Yeah, I think that was pathetic. I think that's
pathetic.
Probably why you're single. Is that why you're single? Because you like to argue with women?
No, I'm single because I'm ugly.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show is almost as pathetic as George. You know, I think it's your director, Billy Bob.
Man, I want to remind people, we don't actually pay for callers like this.
I know, this is ridiculous. I'm so sorry. I mean, David, we have got a number of people that have just texted here, and they are saying this is a plant. They're saying we are putting you on the air to make the conservatives look bad, and I, for one, am very offended on your behalf. I appreciate the call, and have a good day.
Why am I single? Oh. Yeah, have you seen me? This is why I'm single. Good God. All right, let's keep rolling. Jim, welcome. You're with John Caldera. How are you, Jim?
Good morning, John. I'll be very brief. A caller sometime earlier made the mention that DeSantis would get the Trump vote or whomever was the candidate. And
I made that comment. I think if DeSantis was the nominee, I think he'd get 95% of the Trump voters, I think.
I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot will depend upon the primary leading into the Republican primary and what kind of attacks would be made against Trump. I'm a Trump supporter. I can't say die hard because I didn't even know who the man was until he, quote, came down the escalator in 2016. And I followed him. I voted for him. And I think his policies trump everything else. You know, that Rosen used to say... party trumps person. Well, I think policies trump person.
Okay. Well, then if that were the case, you would be a huge DeSantis fan. DeSantis's policies are just remarkable. This is a guy who's put in educational choice.
I've lived in Florida. I know who DeSantis is and how it's gone about. No, I disagree with you on what his policies are. He's done a great job on COVID in Florida. That's well and good. In the school department, keeping the schools open, that was well and good. I have no idea what this man would do on foreign policy. He's made no statements. But more importantly, not 90-plus percent of his donations are from the donor class of the Republican Party. Most of Trump's donations, a large percentage, probably 70-80%, are from people like me. That tells
and therefore?
A lot. And therefore, that tells me that Trump has the support of the people. And that's why he got my support when I finally found out who he was in 2016. Sorry, I didn't watch whatever that television show he sponsored. And all I knew is this man was a builder in New York. And that was my sum and substance knowledge about him in 2016.
No, he certainly had celebrity. Trump had celebrity.
Well, he may have. I don't disagree with that, but I can only tell you I didn't know of his celebrity. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of what is current in society in terms of social mores and whatnot. Not social mores. Pardon me for saying that. But what is going on? I really don't know.
So
the Kardashians.
Let me see if I'm following you right.
Yeah.
So if let's just say DeSantis won the nomination, you might stay home and not vote for him and vote for no one.
it would depend a great deal on how DeSantis wins the nomination.
How do you mean?
I'm not. How? Simply, is he going to attack Trump?
That would be interesting. Trump attacked everyone. That's how he won. So if DeSantis attacked Trump, wouldn't that mean that DeSantis is doing exactly what Trump did to get his nomination?
No, I disagree with your premise. Trump didn't win because he attacked everyone.
Didn't Trump attack everyone? That may not be why he won, but didn't he name call everybody?
And so, therefore what?
Well, I'm saying
he name called.
Hang on. You just said, I'm just trying to follow your logic. You said it depends on how DeSantis won the primary. Did he attack Trump? And I'm curious because let me get my question out.
Go right ahead. I know it's your show. You get to talk.
I'm just trying to get a clarifying question. That's all I am.
All right.
But if Trump, as Trump did during his election, he certainly attacked every one of his primary opponents. So if DeSantis attacked Trump to win his primary, or while he was running his primary, he would have been doing exactly what Trump did. So why would that be a disqualifier for DeSantis if that was a tactic that Trump used? I'm missing
perhaps
that.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear when I said how DeSantis attacks Trump. Is he going to go after Trump's policies? Is he going to go after recognizing Jerusalem as a capital of Israel? Or is he going to go after Trump for his reducing taxes? I don't know what DeSantis is going to. First of all, we don't know anything because he hasn't even announced as a candidate. So it's all hypothesis. And as your Pollyannish client, earlier speakers have talked about, this would be a better world. Let's have Trump's policies, but not Trump. Doesn't work like that. I'm sorry.
From what I know of DeSantis, he has been complimentary of Trump's policies. And he should be. He better be. If he's not, then I would question my compliments of him. But, if he did the same thing of calling people names the same way that Trump calls people names, Little Marco and all the other names, that's name calling. So if he
that's
resorts
right.
to
that's
name calling,
calling.
You can't say those are certainly attacks. If DeSantis says it was a terrible idea that you moved the embassy to
Supported.
Jerusalem, it was a terrible idea that you lowered taxes, then DeSantis wouldn't get my support in a primary. I might still vote for him in the general because he'd still be better than Biden, but boy, I would be really disappointed.
Well, as I said, let's see what happens at the primary. But I think that I'm not unusual in saying I would be lukewarm or sit out the election if Trump were not the nominee. Now, other people feel that way as carte blanche, period, he's going to be it. As I said, it would really, in my mind, it depends on how the primary is handled. So that's where it's at. I have to run, John. Have a good day.
All right,
day.
Thanks
Bye
for
now.
The call. Appreciate it. Back after this, you're on KNUS.
Think about the guy who said, "Yeah, maybe that's why you're single."
That would be a great talk show topic. People could call in and tell me why I'm single.
I mean, the idea that maybe I really like being divorced, because I believe, by the way, there are two types of people, and I tell all my married friends, there are two people. It's like there's dog people and cat people. There are divorced people, and there are pre-divorced people. And sooner or later, everyone gets divorced. That's what I believe, and they hate it. And the husbands always laugh, and the wives always give me that glare. That'd be a great talk show topic. Everyone call and say, "Why is John single?"
As people who get divorced go, why is divorce so expensive? And every divorced guy goes, because it's so worth it. Sorry. That would be a great talk show topic. Everybody could call in and say, here's why you're single. And then my ex could call in and explain it. She and I, by the way, have the best relationship. Oh, I just love that woman. By the way, if only we got divorced sooner, we could have saved our marriage. Go figure. All right, 303-696-1971. Let's grab these last couple calls if we can. Oh, well, let's make this one real fast. Chuck, put it into warp speed. You're with John Caldera.
Yeah, so is the topic today regarding Trump, or is Trump treated equitable or equal to someone else?
Whatever you want to do it. You've got less than a minute. Hit it.
Okay, well, the thing is, I'd say about Trump, you know, he's like everybody else, just a work in progress. I don't think he's treated fairly. Is he the best person I ever witnessed? No, absolutely not. I think you're a better person than he is. But, yeah, I was kind of interested in your last little topics. You're pretty humorous. I didn't realize how funny you really are. But I enjoyed the program today, but I think Trump's getting it screws. Everybody knows that.
This is a political hanging. I agree. But Republicans are the ones who are going to lose. Hey, thank you, George, for letting me sit in. Jim, sorry I didn't have time for you. Check out the Independence Institute at thinkfreedom.org. Have yourself a great weekend and keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.